Praise the Lord. Praise God. Amen. Welcome all of you this evening to this evening live stream. My name is Pastor Teddy Santos from Baltimore Christian Faith Center. It's good to have you here. Join us right now. And thank you all of you once again for being here this evening. Praise God. We had a wonderful time worshiping the Lord. And I invite all of you, everyone that's watching, if you are able to make it, by all means, come worship with us. Come be with us in one accord. Praise God. We're going to start with the word right away. And before we do, let's begin with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we love you. Lord, we exalt you. Lord, we bless your name.
Yes.
Forever and ever. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day that you have blessed us with. Thank you, Lord, for another day of life. Lord, we love you so much.
Love you, Lord.
And Lord, we pray that your love will grow stronger inside of us. That, Lord, we could emit this love, Lord, freely to everyone, Lord, that we come in contact with. Lord, I pray that this evening, your people, Lord, will see and hear you and not me. Be glorified, Lord, here in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen. What I'm about to speak this evening is something that I have spoken about before. It wasn't originally what I wanted to share this evening. But the Lord kept bringing me back to this subject. So I trust that this is for someone either here in the audience or someone watching right now. And it is the topic of love. God is teaching us love right now. And that is the title to this evening's service. God is teaching us love. And to start out, we're going to read today a few verses from the book of Matthew, chapter 5. We're going to start on the word right away, and that is Matthew 5, 43 through 48. And the word of the Lord says, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemies, your enemy. Well, verse 44 says, but I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For he makes the sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect." Praise God. Now, I'm going to start this evening sharing with a question. How often does the Lord put in your path people that you really don't like? Every day, huh, sister? Well, that's daily, Pastor. You have no idea. They don't pay me enough. I need a raise. I need a vacation. Now, my next question is this. Do you ever wonder why? Why does the Lord continuously put people in our path that get on our nerves, that cut us off on the way to work? It's always the law-abiding citizen that is always in front of me when I'm running late to work. It never fails. I think about that all the time. I'm sharing something with you right now. You know, the good citizen of the world is on their way to work when I'm running late, right? Nonetheless, do you ever wonder why? Now, in the past, I've given you a couple of illustrations. It could be people from work, like a boss, a co-worker, a former friend, because they're not your friend anymore. So now it's former. It could be a neighbor. It could be a family member. It could even be a brother or a sister in Christ, in the church, or the old church that you used to go to, or anyone else that we can feel animosity towards. The reason for these people entering into your life is because God is challenging you to be in the image of Christ. That is the reason. He does this by teaching you to love your enemy or enemies so that you can be used by him as a vessel. A vessel of what? A vessel of compassion. So God can use you. This is the reason why. And now, focusing our attention back again in the book of Matthew and what we just read, we're going to break down verse by verse here this evening. I'm going to try to flow through this not as expeditiously as I can, but nonetheless, we're going to get right on the word right away. Verses 43, please, in Matthew 5. It says, "You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemies." What? Well, how about it? That's what you heard, huh? Our Lord God said, "Oh, that's what you heard? Is that why you act like that?" God begins to teach us about love right around here. Right there. This is where it begins. The problem that our Lord Jesus points out is that this has been a cultural thing their entire life. Now think about it for a moment and imagine. Do you think that's the same problem that we are having today? 2,000 years later. Constantly I hear people complain about racism, about equality, about justice. And a lot of it is valid. A lot of it are valid things. Why are they valid things? Because people still love to hate. Because people are evil. People are unjust. So you still continue seeing these problems right now surfacing to the media, the social media, the news, all these issues that we are having in our land specifically, in our country, all stem from hatred. And such behavior has been approved by the people for generations and generations, starting back then, even going into now. The book of Leviticus gives us this one order here, Leviticus 19:18, which says this. Leviticus 19:18. "You shall not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the sons of your own people. But you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." Here very clearly, from the very beginning, from thousands of years ago, our Lord was very explicit and very clear that we ought to love. Love your fellow man. Here in the Word of God, it says your neighbor. And not only are you just going to love your neighbor, there's a type of love that you're going to conduct right now as yourself. You know, I can taste the love in the dinner that my wife cooks for me every single time. She sprinkles a little extra love in there, and I can taste it. You know, because my wife cares for me. She loves me. She pays attention. She goes the extra mile. She knows what I like. This is the same attitude that we are supposed to have towards our fellow man. When I wash my car, this might sound so silly, I take my time. I put a little love in. I put a lot of love into that. In comparison to when I take it to the car wash. Those guys just want to get that car in and out of there. When it's too cold for me to wash my car, they don't add any love to that. And I resent that. But maybe I should pray for them, shouldn't I? The word of the Lord tells him for the prayer. But they're not my enemies. But nonetheless, the point that I'm trying to make is this. There's a way that we are supposed to love our fellow man, as though you love yourself. And we can recognize this as the second greatest commandment that our Lord has given to us. This is how important this is. This is how deep this is. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, yes? And the second is like the first, isn't it? Matthew 22:39, please. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. What has the Lord been teaching us ever since the beginning? He's been teaching us love. God is teaching us love, folks. And if we don't love people who curse us, who hate us, who use us, who persecute us, then we are no better. No better. No more betterer, however you want to say it, whatever grammar you want to use, we are not better than any non-believer, any non-Christian. If we hate or dislike anyone, can we really claim to be children of God? Can we do that? God is love, folks. Our Lord Jesus is love, and we are to be like them, as we see in the 48th verse of Matthew that we just read, Matthew 5. God brings these people into our lives for our spiritual benefit and our spiritual growth, but how many times do we miss the target? How many times these people come and they're introduced to us somehow, and later on, it seems like they only bring grief. There is a reason for all of this, and we fail to realize it over and over and over again. If we obey God, it will be for the benefit of our enemies also. By all means. And now continuing on verses 44 of Matthew 5. But I say to you, love your enemies. Bless those who curse you. Do good to those who hate you. And pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. There should be enough already. Enough of this cultural hatred, which they have done their whole lives. There should be enough of it. And our Lord Jesus speaks authoritatively to them, all to change into what the Lord God desires from us. We are to bless them, which is what? The word of the Lord here says, speak good things to them. This is one of the ways that we can bless them. Say nice things. Compliment them. We are to do good to them. And most importantly, towards these people that are so mean and so rude, unjust to us, most importantly, we are to pray for them. The problem is those people make it easy for us to hate them, and we go right along. We give right on in. And that is the challenge that we all face. Love, folks, always conquers hate. Always. You want a comparison? Doesn't light always conquer darkness? Without a shadow of a doubt. Some analogy there. The exact same way is love and hatred. Love always conquers hatred. Our natural flesh response is to just get away from those folks. It's just to keep our distance. Thinking then that our lives are going to be better. We're going to have a better day. Things are going to go much smoother. This is our natural reaction. God's problem with such an attitude is that He is trying to use you to introduce to those people His Son. To introduce to those people love, the love of God. And it seems as though this message is lost upon God's people in the days that we are living right now. It seems as though people don't think about these things anymore. Doing these things will turn our hate into love, and then God can send His compassion through who? Through you, through us, to them. This is how that works. Touching them with the most powerful force in the universe. And if in case you haven't got it by now, that is love. Love is the most powerful force in the universe. Listen to these words that Jonah prayed in Jonah chapter 4, verses 2. It says, "So he prayed to the Lord and said, 'Ah, Lord, was not this what I said when I was still in my country? Therefore I fled previously to Tarshish, for I know that you are a gracious and merciful God, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm.'" This is our God. This is the God that we represent. This is our Lord being described right now by what is supposed to be a man of God. A man of God that is running from God's will. There's so much to talk about. When I was reading this verse, I was like, wow. Here's a man who the Lord speaks to, gives him instructions. He's a prophet. A disobedient prophet, right? But nonetheless, let's stick back to the main subject here. This is the most powerful force in the universe. That is love. We serve a God of love. It has always been His design to use you and I, us Christians, to demonstrate to this world His great love and His great compassion. And God wants to use us to show Him, to others, to other people. Continuing on, in Matthew 5, we're going to pick up in verses 45, please. "That you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For He makes His sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust." You've heard this said so many times. You've heard me say it. You heard other preachers say it. God is no respecter of person. And here's proof of that. God treats all mankind with the same love. Just as much as he loves me as his child, someone who loves him, who serves him, who seeks to obey him continuously, someone who has their name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, someone who is saved by the mercies of God, that same love that he loves me, he loves the unsaved equally. Did you ever stop and think about that? There is no difference. No difference whatsoever. And that is why God the Father sent his Son. For his Son to die on the cross for us. Why? Because God is love. It's in the Bible, 1 John 4:8. If in case you want to look it up. God is love. God gives every human being the same opportunity to hear and obey so as to be saved. Everyone. I'm going to show you real quick Titus 2:11, please. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to everybody, all men, every single person. So, God loves every single one of us equally, everyone. And now, moving on in our studies in Matthew chapter 5, verses 46. Verses 46 says this, "For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same?" Now, I'm going to give you another question right now for you to ponder on. In reflection of this verse that we just read, I want to ask you this. Is love easy? Or I should ask, is loving easy? Or another way to say it, is to love easy? Maybe that's better. Is it an easy thing? Maybe you might think that it's not. Maybe to some people, they might say yes. Yes. Now, loving mommy, loving daddy is one thing. Right? That's one thing. My daughter, right now, she's at this age now. She's got this thing going on, and I hope she never, ever loses it. She is a bundle of love, is what they call her, right? She'll walk up to me and just kiss my knee or kiss my thigh. Like, she'll try to get a hold of me somewhere and just mwah. And then she'll look at me. She might do a little funny thing and then come back and mwah and make it real loud and make it count, right? On certain occasions, if she's on a couch with us, you know, my wife and I, she'll come and give me a kiss on the cheek. I hope she never loses that, right? And I'm pretty sure that it's very easy, we're talking about easy here, for you to do the same towards your spouse, towards your parents, even a sibling, right? Or, for example, if it's just you and pets at home, for you to show love towards animals. Some people are animal lovers. Whatever the case might be, right? Opposed to the neighbor's, you know, Rottweiler, of course, right? We don't want to do that. But anyways, that's one thing. And loving those who are nice to us, right? Let's move away now from the family here, from the family circle. Loving those who are nice to us, that's something else. But to love someone who does not love you, what would you call it? I tend to call it unthinkable. Otherwise, forget about it. That ain't happening. A lot of people shy away. They stay away from Sister Davis, or Sister Macaroni, otherwise known as Sister Mac, right? They stay away from that brother. Oh no, that person is nothing but trouble. It's unthinkable. It's our natural reaction. And our whole culture and society thinks this way. This is how they think. And that is what is wrong with our society today. And it seems as though it's an issue that's been going for quite some centuries right now, by now, right? But that is not what our Lord Jesus is teaching you to do at this time. At this time, God is teaching us love. And moving on in verses 47, it says, "And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Do the same?" I want to emphasize something on the verse that we just read. Greet everyone the same. You can start by that. You can start by simply doing something that small, right? Walmart greeters, right? When they're out there doing their thing, greet everyone that comes in the door, yes? The fast food clerk greets everyone who pulls up to the drive-thru or walk-in, right? Sometimes they thank you for doing business with them. Sometimes, or other times they don't. We walk along the path and kindly smile or greet people that we meet, or do we? For the most part, everyone does this. Sure, there are a few soreheads out there. There are a few cranky folks, cranky pants, like my wife likes to call it, out there. But we are talking about being friendly. This is what I'm saying. We all know people who are described as, I'm sure you heard it, salt of the earth. Right? We've heard that terminology. Downright good person. Downright good people. Or godly Christian people. You've heard that. Even if they don't go to church at all. That is the kicker. Oftentimes I've mistaken someone for being a believer just by how kind they are. I might not know that person personally. I could be starting a new job. It could be a new guy, a new gal that's in part of the team. It could be a new manager, a new supervisor, whatever. It could be a new lot attendant. But they are so nice. Now, I'm not talking about outgoing. I'm just talking about downright loving. That you would mistaken these folks for being someone who goes to church, you know, regularly, who knows God, who has the love of God. But then, they don't. Mm-hmm. And you know, some of our personal friends, people that you might know, are great people. Are super duper duper, super dupe, like Sarah likes to call it, super dupe people. But they are lost. They're non-Christians. Potentially we all might be affiliated, we all might know someone just like that. But guess what? There is no excuse why you should not shine the love of God bright. I mean, bing, super bright. If an unbeliever can do the same, right? Let's stop and think about that for a moment. Now, moving forward in verses 48 in Matthew chapter 5. Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. And this, folks, this is our goal. To be perfect. When you wake up in the morning, you get up in the morning. That should be your goal right there. Today, I'm going to strive to be perfect. How often do we stop and think about that? Sometimes we stop and you think and you're like, man, I hope I have a good day today. I hope this person doesn't bother me, or I hope I can get this accomplished, and I have a list of things to do. I got an agenda. It's pop, 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 pop. But how often do we stop and we say our morning prayer? Lord, thank you so much for waking me up this morning. You might be praying for your breakfast, whatever. And then you have that set goal in mind. Today, I'm going to be perfect. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands. No need for that. But I just want to say this to you this evening. This is our goal, to be perfect. This is the goal, or the standard, I'm going to say. I'm going to dial in right now. This is the standard that God gave every single one of us who call upon His name, to be perfect as His Son is perfect. And this is where we usually give up, right in this area, loving those who hate us. It's hard. It's hard for certain people. Potentially, we conclude that we will never walk on water. Potentially, we conclude that we are never going to perform a miracle. And I hope that's not you watching right now. And I hope it's none of us here this evening. I hope that you never conclude that the Lord will not use you in some form, way, shape, whatsoever. Let that not be the case. Cast it away from you. Right? A lot of people already live this defeated life. They've already given up. Or they just don't care. We are too humble. Way too humble to think that we can be like Jesus. Even though he commanded us to be like Him. Right? Even though He told us to be like Him. But we are too humble. Way too humble to think that we could ever be like that. How could we? No. No. This is our goal, folks. Let this be your daily goal. To be perfect. Make this a goal in your life. A daily goal. The fact that we will never be perfect should not keep you from doing His will. And His will is for us to love one another. And then things are going to get better. And better. And better. And after you know it, guess what? In Brazil, in Portuguese, we call it a torch. Then you're a torch in the hands of God. With the fire on top, like the, think of the Olympics, the flame on top, right? They call those people torches, used by the Lord. But the Lord cannot use a meanie. You can't be a meanie. No, no, no. And you know, don't feel disheartened. Don't let this dishearten you. It should only cause you to do one thing, folks, and that is to work harder. Just work harder. Work on it. Keep conscious of it. Remember it. And now, for the lesson learned this evening, God wants us to be vessels in His compassion that He can use to reach the lost in a hurting world. The people the people that we don't like, are probably the people who are hurting the most inside. Who are we to judge that they don't deserve the love of God in their hearts? Woe of us to think this way. If the love of God is the same for them as it is for you, or I should say backwards, the same love that you have from the Lord is the same for them, who are we to judge and keep away this love that we have? Who are we to withhold this good and blessings and prayers for them, and thus keeping the knowledge of God from them? The Christian life seems to be a series of lessons about how bad we can be, and now God's great mercy and compassion is upon us. Let it just not be on things that we are not supposed to do, and all the don'ts and all of this, no, but also the things that we are supposed to do. Very, very important, and that is for us to love one another. We must never forget, and I've said this before, I think two different occasions. Let us never forget that we are not in war with people, but we are in war with the enemy. Never forget that. The people that we consider enemies are just prisoners of war taken captive by the enemy. So therefore, we are not hating on them. We are hating on what has a stronghold in their life. We are hating, we're warring against, we are fighting that spirit of destruction. This is what we're in war against. Let me show you Ephesians chapter 6, verses 12, please. And it says this, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." This is who we are warring against. This is who we hate, not the people. So let us do what we can to release them from the dominion of the enemy. This is what we are supposed to do. The power of God, which is the power of love, can turn an enemy into a best friend. Showing love to an enemy pleases God and proves that we have great spiritual maturity. You want to have spiritual maturity? Love your socks off. Just love. Love them bunches. Like Sarah would say, love them buckets. By all means, this is how we are spiritually mature. Can I please have, for the final verse this evening, may I have Proverbs chapter 16, verses 6 and 7. And it says, "In mercy and truth, atonement is provided for iniquity. And by the fear of the Lord, one departs from evil. When a man's ways pleases the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him." This is the Lord's promise to you right now. This is God's promise for every single one of us. We must always remember that as citizens of heaven, we are ambassadors sent to represent the kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Only by compassion and love can we represent the God of love. Only by compassion and love, the God of compassion. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. To conclude this evening, one way we show love is through prayer. This is where spiritual battles are fought. And not only fought, they are won. Doing all these things will cause the compassion of God to flow through our hearts as a river of life. And this river needs to overflow so that others can benefit from this compassion. It will change your enemy's life. And even if it does not affect that person, even if the love that you emit for this person does not reach them, if they don't change, guess what? It will definitely change your life. If it doesn't change the life of your enemy, your life will be changed by all means. And that is God's plan all along. Love conquers and love changes things. Amen, folks?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Let's conclude with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we love you. Lord, we love you. And Lord, I pray that we will learn to love everyone around us, including those, Lord, that are hard to get along with. Those, Lord, that are hard to love. Lord, we represent your kingdom. We represent you, Lord. And you are a God of love. You are the essence, Lord, of love. It all started, Lord, from you. And Lord, may we always mature. May we always grow. May we always want to show this love to everyone. Everyone, Lord, that you have sent our way. Lord, we want to be perfect, just as your Son is perfect. Thank you, Father. Once again, we love you. It is in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you.